Chapter 26, The People of the Americas, The Nazca Drawings. We have been reading about the people who live in Europe, Africa, and Asia. But over on the other side of the world, other ancient civilizations lived. Like the people of ancient Africa, the people of the Americas didn't leave written records behind them. So we don't know as much about them as we know about the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the Greeks. But the people of the Americas did leave artifacts behind them, ancient buildings, ruined villages, and mysterious earth mounds. If you put your finger on the Fertile Crescent again, and this time go left, you'll go across the Mediterranean Sea and out into the Atlantic Ocean. And if you keep going across the Atlantic Ocean, you'll come to two continents, big masses of land, linked together in the middle by a narrower strip. These are the Americas. The top continent is called North America, and the bottom continent is called South America. We call the strip in the middle Central America. South America has mountains all along one edge, and flat, fertile land in the middle. Tribes of ancient people lived both in the mountains and down in the jungles of the flatlands. Like the people of ancient Mesopotamia, the people of ancient South America grew crops, kept animals, hunted, and caught fish. They ate cassava, just like the people of ancient Africa. As a matter of fact, they learned how to dry cassava roots and grind them up into a powder. They used this powder to make a kind of pudding that you've probably eaten yourself, tapioca pudding. One of these South American tribes was called the Nazca. They lived along the rivers of South America in a place that is now called Peru. The Nazca left behind them one of the strangest mysteries of ancient times. More than 2,000 years after the Nazca lived in South America, an airplane flew over Peru. The pilot looked down. He saw a drawing of a monkey, a drawing that covered hundreds of miles of ground. The lines of the drawing were scraped into the earth. From down on the ground, the drawings couldn't be seen. The lines just looked like old roads or gashes in the ground. But from up in the air, those lines made pictures. Soon, flyers discovered more enormous pictures. A spider, a pelican more than 1,000 feet tall, a hummingbird, and flowers. They also found spirals, squares, and other patterns carved into the ground. There were over 300 line drawings and patterns there on the earth. Because there is very little rain in the area where the Nazca drawings were made, the lines have lasted for over 1,000 years. A highway was built across some of the drawings, and others have been damaged by cars driving across them or by people scuffing at the lines with their feet. But many of the drawings are still intact. Look on the next page for a map of the drawings. Can you tell what they are? So how did the Nazca people make these drawings? After all, they couldn't fly. They couldn't get up in the air to see what their finished drawings looked like. Making a line drawing on the ground must have been like drawing with your eyes closed. Do you think you could draw these pictures with your eyes closed? It probably wouldn't look much like a bird when you were finished. No one has been able to solve the mystery of the Nazca drawings. The best guess we can make is that the Nazca people were very good at mathematics. They could figure out how long each line should be, where it should turn, and where it should meet the next line through doing calculations. Another theory is that the Nazca artists used the position of the stars to help them with their drawings. But the Nazca civilization ended about 1,500 years ago, so we will never know the answer to this question. The Heads of the Olmecs. Just above South America is Central America, which is sometimes called Mesoamerica. Earlier we read that Mesopotamia means between the rivers, because Potamia means rivers and Meso means between. Remember the hippopotamus? Hippo means horse and potamus means river, so a hippopotamus is a river horse. Well, since Meso means between, Mesoamerica means between the Americas. Central America is between North America and South America. The Olmecs were the first civilization in Central America. They built a big city, now called San Lorenzo, in the country that we now call Mexico. The city stood up on top of a huge hill. The most important people, leaders, priests, and rich men, lived up in the city. Poor people and farmers lived down at the foot of the hill on the plain. They grew crops on the plain and sent them up for the important people to eat. If you were an Olmec, it was much more fun to be rich than to be poor. At the center of the city, on top of the hill, the Olmecs built a huge pyramid of dirt and clay. The platform was so high that it could be seen by someone standing miles away. Every single bit of clay that was used to build the pyramid had to be hauled up the hill in baskets. The Olmecs built the dirt pyramid basketful by basketful, just like the Egyptians who built their stone pyramids by hauling stone blocks one by one. Up on top of this clay and dirt pyramid, the Olmecs built a temple to their gods. That means that the temple was the highest place in the whole city. We don't know what the Olmec gods were called, but we know what they looked like. One was a snake with feathers. Another was half human, half jaguar. A third was a dwarf-like creature who lived in waterfalls. The temple of the Olmecs disappeared long, long ago. But the statues that stood around the temple still exist. They aren't statues of people. They're just statues of heads. The Olmec heads are probably sculptures of important rulers. But none of these stone rulers has a body. The heads sit directly on the ground, as though an enormous stone person had been buried in the dirt up to his neck. And the heads are enormous, as big as 9 feet tall. That's taller than the biggest person you know, and probably higher than your ceiling. The eyes of the heads are bigger than your whole head. You could put your entire hand up their noses. If you were standing next to one, your head would only come up to its cheek. What if these huge heads had bodies? They would be stone giants, as tall as a 4-story building. The hands would be big enough for you to sit in. A grown-up's head wouldn't even reach to one of their knees. The huge heads sat in a circle around the temple on top of the clay pyramid. What were they for? No one really knows. Perhaps the Olmecs, like the Egyptians, thought that their rulers were gods and wanted to honor them. Maybe they carved the giant heads to remember their rulers, the same way that we name airports and roads and buildings after our own leaders. Some archaeologists have suggested that the giant heads were used for altars or for thrones, but we will never know the answer. The Olmec heads, like the Nazca drawings, will remain mysterious. Rabbit shoots the sun. Now let's travel up from Central America into Northern America. Today, North America contains the countries of Canada and the United States. But back in ancient times, tribes of people roamed all through this big continent. Way, way up north, where the weather is very cold, ancient North American people hunted and fished to survive. It was too cold to grow crops, so they lived by trapping the animals all around them. Seals, polar bears, birds, and caribou. Caribou are like elk or antelopes. They gathered and ate the special kinds of mosses and lichens that grow in the cold north. Some of the bravest even went out onto the icy seas in boats that were made out of skins. They fished and chased whales. A whale could provide enough meat for an entire village, and its blubber, or fat, made good oil for oil lamps. In the middle of North America, ancient tribes grew corn and wheat. They followed the huge herds of buffalo that roamed around from meadow to meadow. They ate buffalo meat. The tongue was one of their favorite parts. They used buffalo skins for clothes and for blankets and tents, and sharpened the buffalo's horns into knives. Tribes who lived near the oceans and rivers also fished and trapped. The ancient North Americans didn't settle down in one place and own houses. Instead, they lived like nomads. They moved from place to place, eating whatever the land could give them. They didn't make written records or leave great stone buildings behind them. Instead, they left us stories that were passed down from fathers and mothers to children for hundreds and hundreds of years. Many of these stories try to explain something about nature. Rabbit Shoots the Sun tells us why rabbits are so timid. It was the hottest day of summer. The rays of the sun beat down on the ground and turned it brown and dry. The grass withered in the heat. The animals were too hot and weary to run, hunt, or play. They lay in the shade, gasping for breath and wishing that the sun would set. Rabbit had been trying to find water all day. Every puddle he came to was dried up into hard black mud. Even the stream had trickled away into dust. His throat was sore and dry. Even his eyes were dry. He sat down in the middle of the dry stream bed and yelled up at the sun, "Stop shining! Stop drying everything up! We need to cool off!" But Sun paid no attention to Rabbit. He went on shining. The ground kept right on drying up, and Rabbit got hotter and hotter and thirstier and thirstier. "Sun needs to learn a lesson," Rabbit grumbled. "I know what I'll do. I'll take my bow and arrows and go east to the place where the sun comes up every morning. And when Sun puts his head up tomorrow morning, I'll shoot him." Now, in those days, the sun did not rise slowly, coming up over the edge of the world a little at a time. Instead, he jumped up into the sky with a great bound. And Rabbit knew that he could shoot an arrow directly into the middle of the sun. So he grabbed his bow and arrows and loped off towards the east. As he ran, he sang, "Rabbit, great rabbit, rabbit enemy of the sun will learn my strength. Oh, rabbit is coming." When he reached the edge of the world, he sat down under a tree and waited. The sky grew dark. Rabbit waited all night long with his bow in his hands. In the morning, Sun sprang up over the edge of the world. He laughed out loud and stood looking around him. At once, Rabbit jumped to his feet and shot an arrow straight into Sun's center. At once, the arrow ripped a great hole in the sun. Fire poured out all over the world. The tree above Rabbit's head began to smoke and crackle. The grass at his feet went up into flames. Rabbit's fur began to scorch. In a panic, he threw down his bow and arrow and ran away. And as he ran, he called out, "Rabbit has shot the sun! Fire is over the world! Watch out! Watch out for the flames! Oh, the fire is coming!"
"Over here," a little voice called.
"Quick, jump onto me and you'll be safe. I am so little that the fire will sweep right over top of me."
Rabbit looked and saw a tiny green bush. At once he jumped beneath it, buried his head beneath his paws, and put his nose into the ground. The fire swept over him with a huge roar. When it had died away, Rabbit put his nose out from underneath a bush and looked around him. The fire was gone, but the world was brown and burnt, and the bush was no longer green. Now it was yellow, scorched by the fire. We still call it the yellow brush, because although it is green when it first grows, it turns yellow when the sun sweeps over it. Rabbit crept quietly away. To this day, Rabbit runs and hides when the light of the sun falls over him. As for the sun, he was never as bold as before. Instead of leaping up over the edge of the world, he creeps carefully up, little by little, looking all around him for Rabbit and his bow. Note to parent. Most of our detailed knowledge of South, Central, and North American native peoples dates from medieval times. The Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas, the Native American tribes of North America, and the native peoples of South America will be covered in more detail in the second volume of The Story of the World, since, in most cases, their civilizations reached their highest points after CE 400. This chapter is a first introduction to the Americas and highlights, slightly out of chronological order, the most memorable tribe of each of the Americas in order to lay a foundation for later learning. The Nazca civilization flourished around 200 BCE. The Olmec civilization flourished between 1200 and 900 BCE, roughly corresponding to the Assyrian expansion, the Greek Dark Ages, and the New Kingdom of Egypt.